The rest of us, I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 25, Genesis 25. As I mentioned at the beginning, we are wrapping up what has been, I had to go back and count, this will be the 20th sermon that we've spent here in the life of Abraham, starting in the end of chapter 11, beginning of chapter 12, through 25 verse 11, where we'll go today. And as we get to this end of Abraham's earthly life, as we think about death, we can think about different ways that death reveals a lot about people, right? Death reveals a lot. If someone is facing their own death, it reveals much about them. If we are dealing with the death of someone else, it reveals much about us, right? And we can think about, maybe we've seen an example of someone who is nearing death, but their focus is still entirely on earth. Maybe we see someone whose focus is still on accumulating possessions and wealth and everything, and a name for themselves, while this temporary earthly existence is dwindling away. But we've seen other examples, right? We've seen examples of how people face death with a mindset that is entirely on what is to come. And one of the things we see here very clearly at the end of Abraham's life, even these last few chapters, from chapter 23 through the beginning of chapter 25 here, is Abraham is about to die. Sarah has died, but the focus is forward. Most of the text is given to what is to come. And one thing, maybe if we don't walk away remembering anything else today, I want us to walk away remembering that as Christians, as those who are saved by Jesus, that our hope is looking forward. Our hope is what's to come. We do not find our home or our security in the things of this world. And so let's read together today. Chapter 25, verses 1 through 11. Abraham had taken another wife, whose name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah. Jokshan fathered Sheba and Dedan. Dedan's sons were the Ashurim, Larushim, and Lumim. And Midian's sons were Ephah, Epher, Hanak, Abida, and Eldah. All these were sons of Keturah. Abraham gave everything he owned to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of his concubines, and while he was still alive, he sent them eastward, away from his son Isaac, to the land of the east. This is the length of Abraham's life, 175 years. He took his last breath and died at a good old age, old and contented. And he was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hethite. This was the field that Abraham bought from the Hethites. Abraham was buried there with his wife Sarah. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who lived near Beer Lahai Roy. So, we've already seen in chapter 3, Abraham's wife Sarah died. Now we see Abraham dying. As I mentioned a moment ago, there's not a lot of pomp and circumstance around his death here, right? He died, he was buried. That's about all, right? We contrast that with what we just saw in chapter 24 and the amount of detail and attention given to finding a wife for Isaac. Our mind is already focus forward, right? As Moses, inspired by the Spirit, was writing Genesis, he's focusing our minds forward, okay? And so as Christians, when we see the absence of some long, prolonged, grieving narrative or some grand ceremony in Abraham's name, it reminds us of the words of Paul in the New Testament, where Paul says to live as Christ and to die as gain. It's focusing us forward. It's reminding us that death is not the end. Okay? And today, as we see this, the title I put on the sermon today is When Death Is Not the End. And here's the reality is that death is never the end. And that's true both for Christians and for non-Christians alike. Our eternity will be very different, but death is not the end. So the first thing we see here today is that we should prepare for kingdom work beyond your death. Prepare for kingdom work beyond your death. So we'll get a little bit more to what we mean by that here in just a moment. But first, we want to kind of look at what we see here in these first few verses, okay? We see in verse 1, it says Abraham had taken another wife. Her name is Keturah. So this is more challenging than it seems when we just read it straightforward, okay? When we just read it straightforward, it seems like this is after Sarah's death. He took another wife, and it very well might be. But we do have to acknowledge that there's some things here that mean that this order might be different, okay? We know that chapter 25 is not in total chronological order because we see things like down in verse 26, it tells us that Isaac was 60 years old when Jacob and Esau were born. So Isaac, Abraham's son, was born to Abraham when Abraham was 100 years old, okay? We see in our text today that Abraham died when he was 175. Jacob and Esau were born when Isaac was 60, which means there was still 15 years left of Abraham's life. If you track what I'm saying there is that the events that come later in chapter 25, the birth of Jacob and Esau, were actually while Abraham was still living. The reason that we are talking about that is because that tells us that this is not all in direct chronological order. So, as we look at verses 1 through 6 here, we see some things that cause us to pause, okay? We see verse 6, it says, Abraham gave gifts to the sons of his concubines. The word concubine meaning a woman who lives with a man as if she were his wife, but without the same status of a wife, a secondary status, okay? And so we see Hagar with Ishmael. But then with Keturah, though, it says taking another wife. So, but 1 Chronicles, verse 132, called Keturah Abraham's concubine. And so this could be, very well be, that after Sarah died, this relationship began, but the status was always secondary. This is not the wife of the covenant. This is not the same status as Sarah. And that very well might be and probably is the case here. But you could also biblically arrive at saying that this might have been while Sarah was still living. Okay? The outcome, the application does not change from that. But we want to acknowledge that to say this does not put Abraham outside of faithfulness to the Lord, okay? But it is different than God's intention for marriage. From Genesis 1 on, God intended marriage as one man and one woman. God has blessed that. That was God's design. But we see in the patriarchs, we see in the Old Testament, things like this occur, okay? It's not God's plan, but it wasn't forbidden at that point. In the New Testament, we get clear things. We get mentions of being of one wife, okay? We see that clearly in the New Testament. But here, as we see that, we're drawing that out to say this is not God's plan. Multiple wives came out of sin, okay? The first instance of that came from the line of Cain, Adam's son Cain. And so, regardless, either way, we don't know. We can't know exactly when this occurred. But it does not change anything of who God is and what God is doing through Abraham here. We do see, though, from Keturah, we see six sons. We see that from one of the sons, Jokshan, we see that his two sons, and then it traces one of their sons that had three more descendants, okay? And so this is all possible within the amount of time between Sarah's death and Abraham's death, but it would have been very compact, okay? But in this, one thing we see really clearly is that God is making Abraham a father of many nations, okay, of many peoples. Now, these are not the peoples of the covenant. These are not the nation of Israel. These are not the ones who carry God's blessing through the line of Isaac, but he is making them fruitful in this ways. And so as we look at all of these things, as we consider what's going on here, now we get to the point that I started with. The point that I was drawing out in that is that we should be preparing for God's kingdom work beyond ourselves, right? We should be preparing that as much as it's up to us, as much as we can. And here's where we see this, okay? And look down to verse 5. It says, Abraham gave everything he owned to Isaac. And then we see while he gave gifts to the other sons, but they were not in the inheritance. It was all on Isaac. He received everything. And then they were sent away, like we saw with Ishmael in chapter 21, so as not to be a hindrance, not to be a conflict with the blessing Isaac is solely receiving going forward and the inheritance that he alone is receiving. We saw the last two messages when we were in chapter 24. The beginning of chapter 24, we saw that Abraham's last recorded words were focused on finding a wife for Isaac. Here, we find his last recorded actions were in ensuring Isaac's full inheritance. So, as Abraham gets to the end, his focus is on what happens after his death. His focus is on God's blessing being carried out beyond himself. So, for us as Christians today, how do we prepare that God's blessing and God's work, his kingdom work, continues when we pass away? How do we hand that to generations coming after us? And I would say that's not just an end-of-life pursuit, that is a lifelong pursuit. We should be investing in others of all ages, but also always mindful that unless the Lord returns before it happens, we will one day die and leave this world. And so, in that, we know, as I read earlier, for us to die is gain. We're entering eternity with our Lord. So our earthly focus until we die is on his kingdom work here. Our earthly focus as we deal with the reality of our impending death is to build up other disciples, to ensure that God's faithful promises are carried out. And we do that while knowing that it's all up to God, right? Everything that's happened in Abraham's life was because of God doing it. But Abraham still did work. Abraham still had a task of obedience to carry out. So we want to be equipping and entrusting and building up the work to continue beyond ourselves. Many people, especially people who have some form of worldly importance, whether that's an important name or great wealth or some version of those things, many times you see a great desire as they're nearing the end of life to be memorialized in some way, right? And maybe it's, okay, we'll give away a great deal of this fortune, but it's going to come with making sure that my name is on all those buildings or something like that. And I'm not saying it's like inherently wrong to have someone's name put on a building on some place, right? But if someone's greatest goal as this earthly life is ending is to have the Stottman Memorial Building at such and such place, it's going to be a very small building, okay? But then it's showing their goal is to build a legacy in their name. Christians, are the greatest thing that could happen is that you die and your name is forgotten, but the name of Jesus is made big. That in your passing, in people thinking of you, that they can't think of you without thinking of Jesus. That the legacy that lives beyond you is the one that actually has the power to last eternally. Even the most important people that we study and read about in history books today from generations past are but words and distant. We don't know really. There's no real significance there, right? But when we can face death with a focus on making big the name of Jesus and seeing the work of God's kingdom carry on beyond ourselves, like Abraham is doing here, then we can be assured without any doubt that work will continue. Because that work is done by the power of our sovereign God. That work is done by our faithful God who has never, ever failed to keep one of his promises. So, in a biblical perspective on how do we die well as Christians, well, it begins with, as I said a moment ago, knowing that death is never the end. We know from places like Hebrews 9:27 that it's appointed for us to die once, and after that, judgment. We will all face judgment. Jesus says in Matthew 25:46, they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Death is never the end. For those who are in Christ, those who are made righteous because of the grace of Jesus, it's eternal life. And for everyone else, it's eternal punishment. For every single human, after death comes judgment. And there are only two outcomes. Because death is not the end, we as Christians can have the greatest of confidences in our eternal life to come, and we can have our sole focus in our work here on earth of preparing for his continued work here. It leads us to our second thing here today. First was that we prepare for God's kingdom work beyond our own death. Second is that we praise God that his work will continue. We praise God that his work will continue. We see in verse 8, it says he took his last breath and died at a good old age, old and contented. Old and contented. Abraham had a great wealth. But if someone's satisfaction is in wealth and importance, then death is the worst possible thing, because it's leaving all of that behind. Abraham's old and contented not because of the things he had in this world, but because of the things he's experienced by God's faithfulness. He's old and contented dying because he knows that the best is still to come. He knows that to be gathered with his people is to be gathered into eternity with his Creator, the God of the covenant. And it is only possible to die old and contented, or young and contented, or anywhere in the middle, whether death is expected or the most unexpected. We can die contented even if we didn't see it coming. But it's only possible if you know what comes next. If you have any doubt about what comes after death, then contentment will not be the case. But believers in the Lord Jesus can have contentment. We can live whether death seems like it's decades away, or whether we're feeling the closeness of it. We can live with a contentment and not a fear of death, because we know that to die is to be united with our Lord for all of eternity, with no end. So he dies old and contented. We see in verse 9, his sons Isaac and Ishmael. So Ishmael comes back to bury Abraham with Isaac. And they buried him in this cave near Mamre. If you remember back in chapter 23 when Sarah died, the whole context of her death was mostly just telling this story about Abraham buying this cave and this field from the Hethites or the Hittites. Okay? It said she died, and then it spent a lot of time in the negotiations for the purchase of this burial property. And we saw that that was important because that had her being buried there, Abraham's going to be buried there, Isaac will be buried there. It had them being buried in land within the promised land that they owned. It was a down payment, if you will, on what is still to come, what is still centuries away in them inheriting the promised land. So now we see that cave brought back up as Abraham dies and is buried there. We see in the structure here, as we think about chapters 23 through this first part of chapter 25, we saw in 23 Sarah died. We saw in all of chapter 24 is focused on finding a wife for Isaac. And at the end of chapter 24, Isaac and Rebekah are married. And then now we come back to death, right? So we started with Sarah's death. We had Isaac's bride in the middle. And now we have Abraham's death at the end. So, and we know, like, even just the length of that story in the middle with Isaac, like, our focus is there. That's what's to come. It's transitioning our focus from Abraham to Isaac and Rebekah, the new patriarch and matriarch of the covenant here. But as we see this burial property, we see that that's coming back to our focus here, that they're... Abraham and Sarah's deaths are the bookends on the story going forward through Isaac and Rebekah. And we see that even their own, for both of them, their own death stories are not even focused on them. Like, how would you feel if it's This is very hypothetical because if it's your funeral, you're not going to care in the least because you're going to be in a far greater place. But if it was your funeral and like they get up to eulogize you and they're telling stories and the stories are all about other people, right? they're all just talking about others. They're all talking about your son or your daughter or your brother. And it's like, what's going on here, right? It would be bizarre because it's like we're here to remember the life of this person. Why are we talking all about different people? That's kind of what's going on here, right? Abraham's died. None of the discussion's actually about Abraham here. It's more about sons and grandsons and wives and burials, and we don't get a lot of just memorializing Abraham right here. It's all focused on God's working things out. And we see that most clearly in verse 11. It says, after Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac. God blessed his son Isaac. Glance over these verses in your Bible, and maybe you notice what I notice. This is the first mention of God in this passage. Doesn't mean God's absent in Abraham's life or in his death or anything like that. But as this passage is written, this is the only time God is mentioned. When we're studying the Bible and we see things like that, that should always draw our focus to that point, okay? That's not accidental. That's drawing our focus there and seeing that this is the most important verse in this passage. This is where God shows up in this passage, where God's hand is drawn out. And it says, God blessed Isaac. Knowing that Abraham died isn't the important part here. It's God's blessing on Isaac. It's knowing that God's people, the people that he is building, are not without God's blessing. That God is present, his faithfulness carries on. And that's why, because God blessed his son Isaac, because God did what he said he would do, is why Abraham died old and contented. Why Abraham knew that death was not the end. It's why he also knew that God's covenant blessing would continue through Isaac, because he trusted God to do what he says. We remember back in chapter 15, it says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed in the Lord. And we've seen it. One of the neatest things throughout these chapters is we've seen Abraham's faith grow. We've seen his confidence in the Lord be strengthened. And it's come by him seeing God's faithfulness and seeing God show up and God do the things that only God can do repeatedly. Whether we die having followed Jesus for 1 year or 80 years, we have opportunity to be seeing his faithfulness. To be singing as we did, great is his faithfulness. As Christians, we die full of joy. Think about this guy named Stephen. His story is in Acts chapter 7. And we know him as the first Christian martyr. The first person in the New Testament who dies because of following Jesus, because of preaching the gospel of Jesus. He's not the only. He's the first of many that are in the New Testament. And countless others in the centuries since then. Here's what it says in Acts 7, 55 and 56. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." You know what comes immediately after that verse? They stoned him to death. Stephen sees exactly the brutal death he is about to endure. But his eyes are on heaven. He's gazing at the glory he's about to experience while he's about to endure the greatest pain imaginable. Abraham died old and contented. Stephen died probably pretty young. Yet they were looking at the same place. We can praise God for his continued work from one generation to the next. We can praise God that everything he says will happen, will happen. We can praise God that when our last breath on this earth happens and we don't know at all when that will be, that we will be looking into heaven, that we will be seeing our forever home. As we draw these 20 sermons and the study we began back in June of the life of Abraham, as we draw that to a close, some things we've seen, some common themes that keep coming up throughout this story. One is God's incredible faithfulness. His covenant, his promises, his blessings that will always be fulfilled. That we see that God uses humans for his kingdom purposes. Not because of their great strength or might or wisdom, but because of his goodness. And we see that through Abraham comes Jesus. That Jesus comes, as we see in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, Jesus comes through Abraham and through Isaac. Wave your hand, it'll come back on. Maybe not. We see that Jesus comes through this line. This is all, as believers who have the whole Bible, we can't read this story without thinking of Jesus. Like, it's there for us to see Jesus through this story. It's there for us to see that our hope alone is in Christ alone. Like that our salvation comes only through him. He is so good. He is so good. But between Genesis 25 and Matthew, there's a whole lot of sorrow still. There's a lot of sin that God's people will commit. and that will increase some of their pain. But it's not a surprise to God. God spoke of it to Abraham back in chapter 17. Of the, or 15, I'm mixing things up. Of the 430 years that they're going to wait. Nothing that happens in our life is a surprise to God. And it's also not a reason to doubt his faithfulness. But we can have contentment and joy in the hardest of days, in the best, most joyous of days, and every mundane day in between, because our joy is not based on the things of the world. Let's pray together. Lord, it's very humbling to consider how short our lives really are. It can be very humbling, Lord, to consider that we will be forgotten not that long after our death. But Lord, while it's humbling, it is not a cause of fear or distress for the believer. Lord, because we desire to see your name built, your name made known, not our own. Hope Valley Church will not exist forever, but the name of our Lord Jesus will endure for all eternity. Lord, we trust in you alone, in your faithfulness alone. Lord, may we die contented. May we be diligent in preparing for your kingdom work to go on beyond our death. Lord, may we praise you for your faithfulness. Lord, these words are all foreign to the heart of the unbeliever. Lord, will you draw sinners to repentance in you, to salvation by your grace alone? Lord, will you make us bold with your gospel in sharing the hope that is found only in you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.